Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I would like to speak to you briefly about the Christian and the last day. Really, what I want to speak to you about is the fact that a Christian has an entirely different concept in mind when a Christian thinks about the end of time, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last day, and the day of judgment. Our Lord Jesus himself says that there will be signs leading up to the coming of the last day. He says that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So there will be portents that happen in the heavenly bodies and upon the earth in such a way that there will be distress and perplexity in the world, except among the followers of Jesus Christ, because we will see and know that these things are the harbingers of the coming of the day that Jesus promised to return to judge the living and the dead. But even though the world of unbelievers has heard about this and has been told about it time and again, over and over, they have plugged their ears, hardened their hearts, and continued in unbelief. And so they look at the signs that God gives that tell them that the Lord is coming to prepare for the great day of judgment, and they entirely miss the boat, don't understand what's going on, because they have convinced themselves that the Bible and those goofy Christians, it was all just a remnant of the past, a remnant of times when people were gullible, a remnant of times when people didn't know any better. And so, when they should be brimming with confidence, when they should be brimming with prayerful expectation, they will be in a state of distress and perplexity, calling up their congressman and saying, "We got to do something about this." It's funny how the world dismisses what the Bible says about the last days and the end of time. But every time they want to suck money out of our pocketbooks, they invent all kinds of worldly end time scenarios. How many times, you know, those of you who are my age, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, you remember all those commercials on TV, and the weeping Indian, right? And the food shortages that were going to kill us all by the 1980s. And even our beloved Al Gore, who told us that we would never make it past 2010. And here we are in 2018, and none of his predictions have come to pass. Boy, when they want to suck money out of your pockets, they can cook up all kinds of phony, baloney, secular end time scenarios to scare you into giving up your freedom and your liberty to save us from goodness knows what. But when it comes to the real deal, The real word of Jesus, who rose again from the dead, they want nothing to do with it. And so when the day comes, they will be filled with distress, perplexity. And it says in verse 26, the men's hearts will fail them for fear. People will faint away from fear when they look at the things that are happening on the earth. Jesus says, because the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What does he mean? He means that the signs that portend the second coming of Christ will be as if the universe is unraveling itself, and that the people on earth will be experiencing it helplessly and hopelessly, as it appears that the whole universe is just coming apart at the seams. Jesus says, and then, after all of that, they will see the thing that they had convinced themselves would never, ever happen. They will all at once, in every place, they will see Jesus Christ. And they will know that he's Jesus Christ. And they will know in a moment that he is the Son of God. And they will know that they have spurned him and spurned him and spurned him. And he will come in a cloud with power and great glory. And for them, it will be too late. But notice, Jesus says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. That is an attitude of hopefulness and expectation. Look up and lift up your heads while everyone else is cowering and cringing and crying out for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. The Christians will stand up, look up, and lift up their heads. Why? Jesus says, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, for the Christian knows a divinely revealed secret. It is the secret disclosed in the gospel. And that is that the day of Christ's return will be for those who have trusted in him, and for those who have continued to believe in him, and those who by the grace of God have endured to the end. It will be for them a day when the redemption that they held by faith in the promises of the gospel, they will now experience in all of its fullness. The holiness that they possessed by faith and by imputation of Christ's righteousness will now be experienced in utter perfection and consummation. Because in a moment, St. Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead will be raised and we shall be changed. You see that? We shall be changed from what? Into sinners in a state of humiliation, to holy saints of God in a state of glory and celebration. The day of Christ's coming and the signs that point to it will be encouraging signs telling us that our full redemption has drawn nigh. You know, in Paul's epistles, he talks about the coming of the day of the Lord. And then he talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says that the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in baptism is the earnest of our inheritance to come. The earnest of our inheritance to come. What does he mean by that? He means that the Holy Ghost given to us in baptism is the down payment, and we will receive the full payment on the day of the second coming of Christ, when all of the humiliation and all of the cross bearing and all of the tribulation bearing will pass away, and all of the realization of the fullness of the glory and grace of God will be fully revealed. So, Jesus goes on and he says, look at the fig tree. And look at all the trees, he says. When they shoot forth, when they bud and begin to blossom, you see this, and you know of your own selves that summer is near at hand. So, he says, when you see these things come to pass, know and realize that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. All right. So when you see these signs, don't get scared. Don't fall into a panic. But rather, know from the Word of God that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he says two things. He says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now here's two ways that Jesus himself encourages us with the truth of what he's saying. In the first sense, he says, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. What he's saying there is that the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD, within a generation of Jesus' words, that destruction is a miniature and a foretaste, a type of the coming of the last day. So that the sign of the destruction of Jerusalem within a generation of Jesus saying these words, that destruction is the guarantee that what he says about the last day will most certainly come to pass. Because what he said about Jerusalem certainly did come to pass. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and the words of Jesus have not passed away. And we are invited to believe in them and to recognize in the signs of the coming of Christ that it will be a day of redemption and the dawning of the kingdom of glory. All right, now, the final part of our text here is, so what do we do in the meantime? Here we are. It's not the end yet. And it's not the beginning either. What do we do? Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. Pay attention. Watch out for yourselves. Why? Because of our weakness. In this world, even the most advanced and strong Christian still has great weakness in his heart. And he says, be careful about yourself. You know how you are. You know what your weaknesses are. You know the things that you are attracted to that you shouldn't be attracted to. Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. What's surfeiting? Surfeiting is too muchness, right? That's surfeit, too much, right? It's that feeling that you get after Thanksgiving dinner if you've eaten like a man. All right, you know what I'm talking about. When you really eat a Thanksgiving dinner and all you want to do is lapse into a coma. All right, that's surfeit. All right, that feeling of headachy, tired, fullness. Oh, please, don't come near me with any kind of food. And your wife says, but we have dessert. And you say, get thee hence, right? Get thee hence, right? That's surfeiting. And then we have drunkenness. We all know what drunkenness is. And the cares of this life. Jesus is saying, you know what your weaknesses are, and you know that if left to yourself with your own resources, you will not make it to the end. But by God's grace, you will endure to the end. So take heed, pay attention to yourself, don't kid yourself so that in the end, that day comes upon you unawares. You don't want to be numbered on the last day with all those who are unprepared for his coming. You want to be aware and awaiting. He says, for as a snare it shall come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always. What is he talking about there? He's talking about the faithful, regular use of God's word and the sacraments. Right? One of the first things that happens to a person, they begin to backslide and fall away from God, is that they start getting casual about coming to church. They start getting real casual about their daily prayers and the reading of the Bible. And they start thinking that it's not really all that important. After all, it's not a state of emergency or anything. Then what happens is a downgrade begins to take place in their life. And they go from bad to worse to unprepared to in deep trouble. Right? Because they have neither watched nor prayed. Both of which are the fruits of the study of God's word. When you are diligent to hear God's word and you are diligent to use God's word, you will be spiritually alert and you will be prayerful. But if you do not use God's word, your spiritual alertness will become farsighted and myopic, and your that day will come upon you unawares and your prayers will dry up. Prayer is always nurtured by the word of God. So Jesus says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the last thing I want to say today is this, that Jesus says you want to be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Jesus reminds us, don't think this stuff is not going to happen. It's going to happen. All right, it's going to happen. And he says, be in prayer and in meditation so that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things and to stand before the Son of Man. That means to stand in the judgment, and when the judgment is over, you're still standing because your heart is anchored in the grace and gifts of God. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.